Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins joining you along with
Paul Sadek.
And we've got a great show for you today. We've got a topic that is, let me ask you this. Do you believe that God still heals? Do you believe that he still heals us in our bodies? He heals us in our minds and our emotions? And do you believe that he puts our lives back together? We're going to talk about healing today. And it's going to be on a couple different levels. One is we're going to be talking with Alan Ames, who's coming to the Twin Cities. That's coming up on Sunday, March 8th in Monticello at the Catholic Church of St. Henry. But we're also going to talk not only about physical healing, but we're going to talk about the healing of the soul, the forgiveness of sins. So two major.
Really what's most important, isn't it?
It is. It is. But you know what? When you look in the Bible and you see the healings that Jesus performed, the physical healings, it's I've heard great theologians, you know, comment about it and say it's kind of like a sacramental pointing to a deeper healing, which is that forgiveness of sins, original justice, bringing us back to where we were intended to be with the equipment where we can live with God forever and ever in heaven.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I want you to think about it for a moment. Do you believe that Jesus heals today? Because if you don't, that says something about your whole perspective and your worldview, and also that sense of hope, the hope in the gospel, the hope in Jesus. Now, we know that God can certainly do amazing things with redemptive suffering, and we've talked about that before on the Rediscover Hour, but I also know that God heals in an amazing way. You know, Paul, I just got back in January from Israel. And we had a priest on our trip in Israel who had fourth stage lung cancer.
Okay.
Fourth stage lung cancer. I mean, it was...
That's serious.
It's serious. He was on a walker. His hair had fallen out from the chemo treatments. His doctor actually came over on the trip to Israel with us and just to accompany him.
That's nice.
We prayed for him several times. We prayed for him on the Sea of Galilee. But there's one point where I really remember prayer. And that was at the Church of St. Peter's House in Capernaum, where Father Tom Rafferty from Houston, Texas, laid hands on him. We all stretched our hands forward, and we prayed for Father Jones, his name was. And we went on that day. And after we came back from Israel, I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I heard my wife on the phone, Emily, and I heard her crying. And I was sort of alarmed. I said, "Honey, what's going on? What's happening?" And I thought it might be something with the family.
You got to find out.
Yeah, and I said, "What's happening?" She came in with tears in her eyes, and she said, "Listen." And she put the phone on speaker, and it was Father Jones. He came back. He was getting ready for his final chemo, and he had blood work, and he had a CAT scan. And the doctor said to him, said, "Father, I don't know what to tell you, but there's not one bit of cancer in your body."
And he was praise be to God.
Exactly,
that's all I can say.
Exactly, and he was crying. He was so happy. He said, you could hear it in his voice. He's got a new lease on life. And some people would say, well, 78 years old. Why then? You know,
interesting question. Yeah,
but why not?
Why not? Yeah, you know, God, exactly.
God, he exhibits his glory and his power in so many marvelous ways. And that really changed our life. And I know, my friend, you're listening right now, and maybe you, maybe a family member, have gone through some difficult times with disease and pain in your life. And I know this. I know that Jesus does heal today, and I've been a part of that in my life. And I think I've received healing, and I've also been one to pray for other people, and God did amazing things. Well, Alan Ames is going to join us in just a few minutes to talk about healing. And if you have a friend that perhaps needs to hear this, why don't you give them a call right now? Tell them to tune in to Relevant Radio so they can hear this. Also on the show today, we're going to talk about sin because we have a big conference coming up, May 21st.
Oh, that's right.
It's men.
Yes.
Now, women could have talked about this, too.
They've talked about it.
But we're going to talk about it at the big Archdiocesan Men's Conference coming up at St. Thomas. That's a Saturday at the Anderson Fieldhouse. We're expecting up to 2,000 men. And we're going to talk about sin, conquering sin. We're going to talk about that healing of the heart. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But kudos to the women.
They had a great one.
Yeah. They did. They had a great conference. About 1,000 women came out at it.
They were in here a couple of weeks ago, and they were just bubbling.
Oh, were they? Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. I was out of town, and I think they all did a great job of coming in here and reminding them. But we want to ask all the women in the Archdiocese to pray for us as men, because March 21st is going to be a big, big day for men in the Archdiocese. Well, big show coming up, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk with Alan Ames. Does God still heal? You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Computer Docs is a computer repair shop based in the Twin Cities. Computer Docs has provided service to many Relevant Radio listeners over the years who need repairs or updates on their personal or business laptops and desktop computers. They can service all brands, even tablets. They also provide security solutions for your computers. The Docs in Computer Docs stands for Dependable On-Time Computer Solutions, and they live up to that name. In most cases, an appointment can be made and serviced on the same day by calling 763-425-0275. Computer Docs, for any computer repair need you have, big or small. They use Angie's List to assess whether they're doing a good job keeping valued customers like you happy. Get your computers up to speed, cleared of virus or malware, or upgraded with Computer Docs in the Twin Cities. 763-425-0275 or computerdocsrepair.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins joining you along with Paul Sadek.
I'm here.
You are. We're talking about the topic of
healing.
Healing. That's right. And we're asking the question today. We're asking, does God still heal today? And we're not talking about Africa, and we're not talking about the UK, and we're not talking about South America or the Far East. We're talking about
right here and now.
That's right. Right here and now in the Twin Cities. Does God heal in the Twin Cities, or is it something that we just hear about on television in another country? Our guest today is a longtime apologist, and that's someone who defends the faith and talks about the faith, but he's also been involved in the healing ministry for quite some time. He will be in the Twin Cities at the Catholic Church of St. Henry in Monticello. That's coming up on March 8th. Originally, I believe, from Australia, but calling us today from the UK is Alan Ames. How are you, my brother?
Oh, God bless you. I'm very well. Thank you for having me on your show.
You are welcome. And you are calling from the UK, right?
Yes, I'm in London at present, and off to Poland and then over to Minnesota.
Then you'll be in Minnesota. And hopefully by the time you get here, that accent will be totally straightened out and you'll be talking northern Minnesotan.
Listen, I do that already. I've been to Minnesota so many times, I change my accent when I get there.
Okay. More of an anointing, I'm assuming. Tell me what. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I always look forward to being there because there are many people of strong faith in Minnesota. And what it does is it strengthens me in my faith when I see so many prayerful and holy people.
You know, you're so right, Alan. We do have a lot of great gifts in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. A lot of great laity, great priests, bishops, and a wonderful, wonderful ministries. You know, as we're facing tough times right now, there's people who would say, yes, in our archdiocese, we've experienced some very difficult times with the bankruptcy and the scandal that we've gone through. But in personal lives, people are saying, I'm really going through something else in my life too. Maybe it's disease or it's discouragement that they're going through. Encourage us today with this message of healing. What's happening out there as you go around the world and begin to see the gospel go forth and people healed?
Well, look, the world's a mess, isn't it? I mean, and everywhere is people are struggling in their lives because there's so much confusion and uncertainty and so many problems in life. But the answer to all of it, of course, is God, is Jesus. And Jesus, he wants to be an intimate and part of our life. He wants to have a closer personal relationship with us so that he can heal us spiritually and physically, mentally, emotionally. He wants to bring us to a holy life, a whole life, a complete life in him. That's what he's done to me. When I, 20 years ago, you know, I was living in the world and I was completely lost and had so many problems and addictions and many other problems. He reached into my life and touched me deep in the soul, healed me completely of everything I needed to be healed of. And from that moment, my life has been absolute joy. Now, from that, he told me that this is what he wants to do for everyone. He wants to be part of their life. He wants people to turn to him in their times of struggle and embrace him so he can heal them. But sadly, often what happens is when we have struggles in our life, when we have problems with our health or our families or friends, often we turn away from God. And it's in those moments we really need to turn more and more to him. When you turn away from him, your problems, they don't go. They're still there. You just have to carry them by yourself now. But when you turn to him, even though the problems may stay with you, hopefully he'll heal many of them, but he'll give you the strength to carry any cross, to endure anything, to do it joyfully and happily in his divine love. Because he wants to be there helping us carry those crosses, helping us with our struggles and healing our hearts and our souls when we hurt, when we feel so lost, alone, unloved, unwanted, uncared for. He's there for us. We just need to be there for him.
You know, Ellen, in our introduction, we were talking about a priest in Texas who went to Israel with me, and he was 78 years old, and he was healed. He was healed of fourth-stage lung cancer. And some people would say, well, you know, he was healed of cancer at 78 years of age, but my daughter, who was 13 or 14, was not healed and unfortunately passed away. And it was a big struggle for the family. What do you say to people about God healing sometimes? In other cases, it doesn't seem that there's a healing. What's the message in all of that?
Well, I mean, it's very sad and tragic at times, especially when young people, you know, pass away, when they die. And I've seen that happen in many cases because I pray all around the world for people for healing. And sometimes I see older people who are in their 70s and 80s, even 90s, who are healed. And I see younger people who are not. But what I see in the healing of the elderly people is that God's giving them this extra time to come closer to him, that in these final years of their life, they can step closer and closer to him and be drawn more into his divine love so that they can truly reach out to him and into heaven through his divine being. Mm-hmm. In the younger ones, of course, it's very tragic and the family hurts so much and there's so much pain and suffering. And sometimes I wonder, you know, I prayed with a young child recently that died and I've seen other children I've prayed with and they've lived when I've prayed with them. And I wondered, why did this child die? And the Lord said to me, well, look, this was the time for this soul to come back to heaven, for this person to come back to me. This was my will. And, you know, what I do is when I pray for healing for people, I always pray not for anything specific. People, you know, always ask for cancer or hearts or whatever. I always pray that God's will be done because I know that's what's best. I know his will be the best healing for the person. And sometimes that healing is to bring that person home to heaven so they can be in his eternal glory. Even though it may be very difficult for the families to understand this, that's the truth of the matter. So what I do in these cases, when that happens, I offer the mass for that family to be at peace, to be filled with the grace of God, and to come closer to Jesus in their suffering, because they've been given the opportunity now to embrace Christ in this suffering and come closer and closer to him as they carry this heavy cross and invite him to carry it with them.
You know, the issue of some people being healed and some people not being healed is certainly a mystery, and unfortunately, sometimes people feel guilty if somebody says, well, you didn't have faith enough to receive that healing. What would you say to someone who says, you know, I really want to be healed by God of this cancer, this problem that I'm experiencing? What should I do? What's my disposition if I'm going to go to a healing mass or have somebody pray for me? Is it totally up to me, or is there some level of providence here in God's mystery?
Well, you know, I've had atheists who've been healed when I've prayed with them, and I haven't believed in God at all. I remember one of the first people in a wheelchair who walked when I prayed with them was a man who didn't believe in God at all, and he was so amazed when Jesus healed him, and he stood up and he walked. So, yeah, he obviously didn't have faith. He had hope that he would be healed. But, you know, many people come and they have this strong desire to be healed of this and that, and they're often demanding from God or asking, why won't you heal me? And, you know, instead people should be saying, Lord, whatever is your will, you do what you want in my life. And if you want me to carry this suffering, I'll carry it because I love you, and I'll offer it for others because I love them. But if you want to heal me, I accept that healing so that through that healing, you can be glorified in my life. And so when we come for healing, it's important we have a strong faith believing in Jesus and trusting in his will. But we shouldn't cloud that with what we want, what we desire, even though, you know, the pain may be terrible at times and the suffering may be so hard, and it's hard to look beyond that. We have to try and look beyond that, look to Jesus and say, Lord, whatever you want, I know that's best and I'll accept that. And it's when we do that, then we know that whatever is best for us will happen, and that God will bring us the fullness of life and whatever health he wants us to have in this life. In my own case, when Jesus came to me 20 years ago and he healed me, look, I'm a diabetic, and I'm a diabetic since I was 15, and I have what they call brittle diabetes. It's a very delicate. And before Jesus came to me, I would have said, I'd give my right arm to get rid of my diabetes, because it was so difficult. From the moment he came to me, he healed me of everything else, which was far worse than diabetes, believe me. He left me with diabetes. But it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all now, because I can offer this every day to Jesus, and every struggle I have with it, I offer to Jesus, because that's what it's for. It's offering it to him for the healing of others, the salvation of others. And so we, instead of looking to ourselves and seeing the problems that we've got and wanting them so much to be healed, we should look to God and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I accept.
Alan, just a few minutes ago, it's Paul talking to you now. You mentioned that you've seen atheists healed. I have to ask, what was the aftermath of that? Was there a gift of faith that was received along with that?
Oh, yes, actually, there's been quite a few that have been healed, and most of them find Jesus after. I remember in Washington, D.C. or Maryland, there was he was an atheist who was a Hindu and who was a Buddhist and everything else beforehand, but now he'd come to the state of being an atheist where he didn't believe in anything. But he was partially blind, and he came along, and I prayed with him, and the Lord, through the sacraments, blessed and healed him. And his sight returned, and in that he found complete faith. He's become a strong Catholic, from what I remember, a daily communicant now, which is absolutely wonderful.
Praise be to God.
We're talking with Alan Ames. He is a layman from Australia, currently in the UK. He'll be coming to the Catholic Church of St. Henry in Monticello, and that's going to be on Sunday, March 8th. It's going to be an evening talk. They're going to have a rosary and prayer at 5:30, and then Alan's talk will be at 6:10. I do have to ask you, Alan, you know, we as Catholics, and you're Catholic and a very faithful Catholic, we are people of sacraments, and we have the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is certainly a healing sacrament. We have the sacrament of confession, which is healing in our lives. We also have the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, and that is something that I, as a layman, do not walk around and do the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. But at the same time, I hear the voice of Jesus in the gospel saying to pray for people and to encourage people. How would describe to us the difference between the sacrament and you praying for people?
Well, first of all, the sacrament of the sick can only be done by a priest, the holy hands, the blessed hands of the priest. No layperson can do that because it's a sacrament, and of course lay people can't do that. What I do is I just pray for healing very briefly with everyone, but all the healing that comes through me, it's not from me, comes from God in the sacraments. We usually have a Mass first because the Eucharist is the most powerful healing prayer of all. We're the greatest physician. God himself fills you with himself, his healing love. We also have the Blessed Sacrament exposed for the healing prayers because the healing, of course, comes from the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. And we have priests for confession because confession is a powerful, powerful healing sacrament. Because when you confess all your sins and hold nothing back, then the Holy Spirit, through the priest, he purifies, he cleanses, he heals your soul. And once your soul is healed, it's natural that other healing would follow. And frequently people tell me that's what happens when they have a confession at one of my talks. So for me, all the healings that ever happens that when I've prayed with people have always been because the sacraments have been there, because it's through the sacraments, through God in the sacraments and his divine grace that the healing is poured out. Now, the sacrament of the sick is such a powerful sacrament. My mother-in-law, she died recently, but a year ago she was dying then, and the priest came in and he gave her the sacrament of the sick and anointed her and gave her the communion. And she was healed immediately. And she said to us, "I wish you hadn't done that. I wanted to die." But, anyway, a year later, she died, and it was just recently. And the priest again gave her the anointing stick, but obviously it was her time to go. It's a wonderful sacrament. A priest in Perth, where I am, a Father Nisham, he was working in the hospital, Royal Perth Hospital. And there was a young man who'd been in a serious car accident and died. He was now in the mortuary. And the family said to the priest, "Look, we know you couldn't get here in time to anoint him, but could you go and do that now on his body and just say a prayer with him?" And the father said, "Look, I'll say a prayer with him and I'll put some oil on him. I'll go and do it." So he went to the mortuary and did that. And when he did that, Father Nisham said he nearly jumped out of his skin because the young man sat up and he was awake and he was alive and he was fine.
Isn't that amazing? Sounds like right out of the Bible, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But Father Nisham, he ran out the room first because he was a bit scared of what's happening, but then he went back in. The young man was fine.
And what did you do today? Yeah, that's wonderful. You know what I like about your approach, Alan, is that it seems to be a very, very balanced approach. And sometimes, you know, when we're talking to people with a ministry that they want to see the healing of the sick, it can be unbalanced in some ways. And you're very balanced in that God heals through the Eucharist. God heals through confession. God heals through the laying on of hands and the sacrament, the beautiful sacraments of healing. But I also appreciate it too because, you know, the truth of the matter is that Jesus healed some people, and then there were people that he walked by who were not healed. And I don't think that was due to him praying and it simply didn't happen, but there just simply were people that were not healed and people that were healed. And the beautiful message about Jesus and his kingdom that has been given to us as Catholics is that if you are healed, praise God. And you now have kind of a sense of responsibility to share that with other people and to glorify God. If you are not healed physically, you still may be healed in your soul, but you now can offer that suffering up in union with Christ. And as St. John Paul II says, it becomes redemptive, and we can even offer that up for other people. So it seems to me, Alan, that we as Catholics have kind of a win-win situation.
We don't lose. We only lose if we keep looking to ourselves, keep focused on ourselves, and instead of being focused on God and his will. You know, he offers us everything, and he offers us eternity and his love, and it's wonderful. And it's great to see people who are healed physically, but for me, the spiritual healings are so much better. Mm-hmm. When I see people who have not known God, and they pray with them, and the Holy Spirit touches them, and now they know God, and their whole lives change, that is the most amazing thing.
Beautiful.
I can never thank God for that. One of the things, many people come and thank me for healings, and you know, I feel so embarrassed and ashamed when they do, because what they're doing is they're looking at me. Instead of looking at God, they should be thanking Jesus. And I feel like falling down on my knees and saying, "Why aren't you thanking Jesus? Don't thank me. I've done nothing. Mm-hmm. All I've done is pray like anyone else can do. Anyone can pray for healing. If you trust in Jesus, if you live the sacramental life, focus on the sacraments, give your life for others, anyone can pray, and God will work through them to heal others.
So it's coming. It's coming up March 8th. That's Sunday at the Catholic Church of St. Henry in Monticello. Alan, before we let you go, what can people expect?
Well, there'll be a talk for maybe 35 minutes, 40 minutes, which will be on the sacraments and what God's doing, done in my life, and how He's reaching out to people. Then after that, the Blessed Sacrament will be exposed. I'll lay hands on people and pray with people, and we should have priests hearing confessions, and then we finish with benediction. So there's not a mass that evening because they're having the parish mass earlier, so I have to go to that one. And then it's after that they've got the healing service.
Should people bring their friends and family, whether they're Catholic or not, huh?
Bring anyone. All right. Anyone and everyone. Jesus never turned away from anyone, and he's there in the Catholic Church with his heart and soul, his entire being, his body, blood, soul, divinity, open to everyone, calling everyone in love, come to me, let me heal you, let me love you.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Alan, and we do look forward to that, and we do pray that God will be glorified and there'll be a lot of fruit as a result of you coming to the North Tundra here in Minnesota.
Thank you, and thank God, and keep up the good work.
Bring your mittens, Alan.
God bless you.
That's Alan Ames, and he's currently in the UK. He will be in Monticello March 8th at the Catholic Church of St. Henry.
And on March 9th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, Rosary at 6, Mass at 6:30, Alan's Talk to Follow Mass. That's
fantastic.
On Monday, March 9th at St. John's in New Brighton.
We're talking about healing today, and that's a healing that you may want, you need in your life. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about another kind of healing, which is the healing from sin. And we're going to talk a little bit about sin. That's actually our theme coming up March 21st at the Men's Conference. And that's going to be at the Anderson Fieldhouse at the wonderful campus of St. Thomas. It's for all the men. We're expecting a couple thousand of you to come on out. Ladies, if you're listening, get your husband to that conference. You can go to our website at archspm.org and get all the information to sign your man up for the men's conference. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we'll be back in just a moment.
The stories of exceptional customer service, fair pricing, and totally pressure-free sales at Sac Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine are all true. But when we heard from Father Peterson at Sacred Heart Parish, we asked him to tell you personally.
I'm Father Brian Peterson from Sacred Heart Parish in Robbinsdale. When my car was having trouble and the transmission was on its last line, I decided it was time to get a new car. And I went to Matt Sack Chevrolet in Belle Plaine. My favorite part? Certainly the driving experience, getting to try out the new cars. But ultimately, it was that personal attention that I felt from those who worked there, as well as from Matt Sacks himself, to really provide the vehicle that I knew would be necessary for all the work that I do. People were kind, friendly, and it helped to know that there were people of faith in that place.
Enjoy the experience of buying a car or truck again. Visit Sac Chevrolet and Buick in Belle Plaine, just a few minutes south on Highway 169. Call them first if you'd like, 952-873-2234, or online at sacchevybuick.com. You'll like their attitude.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins along with Paul Sadek. And if you just joined us, well, you missed a great interview with Alan Ames talking about healing. And of course, you can find that on the archives.
And I think your question was answered. Does God still heal today?
We did that. Yeah, that's right. Does God still heal today? And if He has healed you, whether it's physically or emotionally, or whether you have experienced that tremendous release from sin that comes through the sacrament of reconciliation, I think we have a responsibility to share with other people and tell them about the good things that the Lord has done in our lives. You know, I really like that story in Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus heals, forgives a man. This owner who was owed a lot of money forgave another man who owed him very much. And the word that was used there, it was so beautiful. He released him from the debt. And that's what happens when we are forgiven by God. I'd like to talk to you just for a few minutes in the remainder of our show today about sin. It's going to be the theme of our men's conference coming up on March 21st. And our goal at that conference is to really help men conquer sin in their lives. And isn't this something that we all struggle with so much, you know? When you go back to the very beginning of the Bible and you look at Adam and Eve, and they're existing clear back there in the first two chapters of Genesis in a state that we would call in theological circles original justice. And original justice is when your soul has or possesses sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the life of the Trinity. And sanctifying grace is part of the equipment that you need to live with God forever and ever. And as you look back at those early chapters of Genesis, you see how our original parents lost that original justice. And when they lost it, everything became very confusing and broken in life. Before they fell in that original sin, they, of course, were created in the image and likeness of God. And that means that they had an intellect, they could reason, but it also means that they had a will and they could make choices on what they were facing. They could gain knowledge and then say, well, I'm going to make a good choice here. And it also means they had the capacity to love and pour themselves out. But due to the fall in chapter 3, when the serpent comes into the garden, he beguiles them, he tricks them. And they lose their trust in their Heavenly Father at that point, and pride enters in. And as a result of it, they ended up eating the fruit from the tree. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that sounds like a children's story. You know, there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. And God said, don't eat from that tree. And the day that you eat of it, you will die. And the enemy comes in and says, you won't die. Then he kind of throws in a little bit of an edge there and says, you see, God knows that in the day that you eat of it, you will be like him, knowing good and evil. And there's almost a hint that God doesn't really want that. But you know what's happening is the enemy is selling Adam and Eve a bill of goods because they were created in the image and likeness of God. But the key to walking with God is walking according to his word. But the enemy brought doubt in, and as a result, it tells us in Genesis 3:6 that Eve saw that the fruit was beautiful to the eyes, it was good to the taste, and it makes one wise. Well, there's three pretty good things. So what's the big problem with eating the fruit? Well, the problem with eating the fruit is that they chose the creation, the fruit, and the beautiful, and the tasty, and those things that would make you wise. They chose those over the Creator. And anytime you choose created things, whether it's tangible or intangible, whether it's the Louis Vuitton purse or the shoes or the degree or that job promotion, whatever it might be, if you choose the created over the Creator, you fall into idolatry. Well, they did. Our first parents did back in Genesis. And as a result of it, their intellect was darkened. Their will was weakened, and they lost original justice. Death begins to set in. And they ended up with a kind of a fancy word in theological circles called concupiscence. And concupiscence is a disordered self-centeredness. And due to this now, we get ourselves in all kinds of trouble, don't we? We get into all kinds of trouble. Now, God's original plan for us was that we would be fully divinized. Big fancy word. It comes from the catechism. We talk about in paragraph 389 to be divinized, and to be divinized is really to become like God in so many ways. And that really was what the Lord was calling us to. You know, I really like John Paul, St. John Paul, still getting used to that, you know, calling him St. John Paul II. And I even have a longer name, St. John Paul II, the Great.
I think you have to pick one or the other.
Well, I just keep going with these titles, but he wrote so much about sin, and the document that I would recommend that you read, and all you guys that are listening that are going to come to the men's conference, read this document. It's not very long. You can go to Leaflet Missal. You can go to St. George's. You can go to any of the Catholic bookstores or go online if you need to. You can even go to Vatican. And it's called Reconciliation and Penance. And in this article, there's so many rich, wonderful quotes that help us in understanding sin in our lives. For example, St. John Paul II says that after Adam and Eve sinned and they lost original justice, and now they have original sin, which is passed on from generation to generation, he says, sin is a product of man's freedom, and sin does not acknowledge God's sovereignty. So it was out of freedom. It's a product of man's freedom. Man is free, but man did not handle that freedom well. And it does not acknowledge God's sovereignty. Paul, let me tell you. I went over to the Soviet Union years ago, before the Soviet Union fell, before the Iron Curtain fell.
Interesting.
And we actually smuggled Bibles into the Soviet Union.
Ah, yes. That was a crime at the time, wasn't
it? Yes, it was, and I got caught. I got caught, and that's a whole other radio program. Maybe we'll do that sometime. Okay. But I did get detained, and before the the Iron Curtain came down. I also went to the Soviet Union. Then they dropped that name and it was called Russia, but this was after the Iron Curtain came down. And I noticed something very fascinating, and that was that many of the men did not know how to handle freedom because there was something different on my second visit. All throughout the major roads in Moscow, there would be like almost football huddles of men huddled around something, and I didn't know what the something was until I walked over and I poked my head in to see, what are you guys looking at? It was pornography.
Oh, my.
I mean, we're talking about, if it was in the Twin Cities, it would be on Nicollet Mall.
Sure.
Hundreds of these groupings, and there were, the mafia began to break out, prostitution and so forth. And what sociologists determined was that the Soviet Union fell, people found new freedom, but literally didn't even know how to handle
the
freedom. And it kind of fits in with what Pope John Paul, St. John Paul II was saying, is that sin is a product of man's freedom, and sin does not acknowledge God's sovereignty. He also went on and he said that sin is not merely to deny God. To sin is also to live as if he did not exist, to eliminate him from one's daily life. And that is a really, really interesting concept, because when we think about sin, or we think about atheism, as Alan was mentioning earlier on the show, we think about people who completely deny the existence of God, you know, in daily life, and they're atheists. They don't believe that God exists. But John Paul II said that sin isn't merely to deny God. It's not to say, God, no. Necessarily, but to sin is also to live as if he did not exist. So you and I, Paul, could confess Jesus as Lord. We're Catholic, and we want to raise our families Catholic. But if you really look at our daily life, someone may conclude that you don't really believe that he exists based on the way you live your life.
Right.
And that's powerful.
You have to put your faith into action.
Yeah, put what's on the page down to the pavement. So he says, sin is not merely to deny God. To sin is also to live as if he did not exist, or to eliminate him from one's daily life. And so I would encourage you, you know, as you're listening to the show today, to kind of review your life. If others were watching you or watching me, would there be enough evidence in our life today to convict us of being a Christian? Or does it appear that we believe in God, but that we can handle everything ourselves? And that's something that I find I go in and out of. Some days, yeah, I think I'm more like that. And in other days, it's, no, I think I really am relying on the Lord. One of my favorite quotes from St. John Paul II concerning sin, in his document, Reconciliation and Penance, it goes like this. As a rupture with God, sin is an act of disobedience by a creature who rejects, at least implicitly, the very one from whom he came and who sustains him in life. Now get this, Paul. This is the Pope It is therefore sin we're talking about. If you just joined us, sin. It is therefore a suicidal act.
That's frightening.
It is.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that.
No.
I mean, how many of us would say, yeah, I'm open to suicide, unless they are emotionally desperate and they've gone into despair. But most of us that are here today, you listening and Paul and I, we would say, I would never think about committing suicide. Yet St. John Paul II said that sin is a suicidal act. It's taking our own lives. The sin and the grace that God has given us, and if it's mortal sin, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, that is a death cut. That is a separation from God that puts us ourselves in a situation where we cannot obtain eternal life. He goes on and he says in paragraph 15 of this great document on reconciliation and penance, he goes on and says, since by sinning, man refuses to submit to God, his internal balance is also destroyed, and it is precisely within himself that contradictions and conflicts arise. That is powerful. To think that because of sin in our lives, there is an internal balance that is destroyed. Paul, you know, you've talked to a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people. How many people that we've come in contact with would say, you know what, I'd give up my earthly treasures. I'd give up even my physical health if I could just have peace in my heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And sin upsets that internal balance.
We keep on pushing that peace away.
Right, exactly. And, you know, let me illustrate it just for a second before we take a break. And that's this. We've seen it on television. We've seen it on television, and that is lie detectors.
Right.
A lie detector is something that is strapped up to you and your pulse and your blood pressure and all that. And somebody will, you know, they put all these tags on you and wires, and then they ask you a few baseline questions. Your name and where do you live? And they get an idea of whether, you know, your internal balance is being upset,
right,
by these questions. Mm-hmm. And then they start to ask you questions pertaining to the subject that they're interested in. Were you there Tuesday night at 9 o'clock? Have you ever shot a gun? You know, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they can look at the equipment and they can tell something's wrong.
Yeah.
You are really out of whack. There's an imbalance going on inside of you. You're lying.
Yep.
And that tells me something. We're not even created to lie. We're not created to lie. We're not created to sin.
We weren't created to sin. No.
Now,
why do we?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you why we sin. That's a good question. And we have to ask this of Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, Eve in Genesis 3:6, she saw the fruit. She came to three conclusions. It's good to taste, good to look at, makes one wise. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, he struggled with this. He went through, from the time he was born to the time he was an adult, he went through all of the sins in his life, and he was pretty graphic.
He was a wayward young man.
He was, with a praying mother, and he said that there was one particular sin that really, really tripped him up, and it wasn't the big ticket items that we think about. It was, I think it was book three of the... book two or three of the Confessions of St. Augustine, he said that he was with his friends walking down the road and they saw a pear tree. And he makes all kinds of commentary about this. I didn't particularly care for pears. I didn't need the pears or anything like that. But they stole the pears and then they threw them at a bunch of pigs owned by a farmer. He said that was the sin that tripped him up. So he started to examine from every angle, why would I do that? And he came to the conclusion initially, well, I did it just to do something evil. I did it just to experience it. And then he said, well, no, wait. Good theology is based on good philosophy. That's not good philosophy, because good philosophy says that we make choices that will make us happy. So why did I do it? What was I searching for?
Yeah.
And you know what it was finally? He said, I wanted the camaraderie of my friends.
Yeah.
I wanted the brotherhood I wanted to belong.
It sounds like peer pressure.
Ancient peer pressure. But what he said is, and this fits so well with what the catechism says that all sin can be traced back to a distrust of God, a distrust of our Heavenly Father. And we have needs in our life. We have needs for food, and we have needs for shelter, and we have needs, emotional needs, to be loved, to belong. And oftentimes, we will go out of bounds to find those things in our lives. So those guys that are in prison right now, did they sin? Well, if they broke the law, you could, yes, that's sin.
Sure.
But every single one of them, I don't care what the story is, or you who are driving down 494 or 694 or wherever you're at right now, sin is searching for happiness. G.K. Chesterton once said, he said, every man that knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for happiness. And
that's true.
That's the nature of sin. Mm-hmm. The nature of sin is seeking ultimate meaning and happiness in created things rather than in the Creator. And so when we judge ourselves and we look at our own lives, we can't sit back and say, well, you know, I haven't committed any of the big ticket items. I'm doing okay. Well, let's stop and think a second. Do you really think the fruit on the tree was a big ticket item? I mean, really?
It doesn't sound like it was.
But it
was.
It broke the relationship.
Yep.
And little things can break your relationship with God.
Indeed.
And so that's what we're talking about here. And John Paul goes on, he says, you know, as a personal act, and I want you listening to the show, and I'll do the same. Paul, you do the same. We think about our own lives, and we examine our hearts and the things that we do that either weaken our relationship or break our relationship with God. When we think about it, as a personal act, sin has its first and most important consequences in the sinner himself. You, me. This disrupts us. If we have a heavenly lie detector test or a sin detector test strapped up to you or me, and you know what it would do? It would read that we are out of balance.
Out of whack.
John Paul II said that this has a very important consequence in the sinner himself, that is, in his relationship with God, who is the very foundation of human life, and also in his spirit, weakening his will and clouding his intellect. And so I want to just take a moment to encourage you as you're listening to the program today that sin will weaken our relationship with God. And there are two kinds of sin. We kind of have two categories of sin, and that's called mortal sin and venial sin. And venial sin is acts that weaken our relationship with God. If you were talking about a marriage, there are certain sins in marriage that weaken your relationship with each other. It may be fibbing about something. It may be anger towards each other. It weakens the relationship with your spouse. But there are other kinds of sins in marriage, and I think you know what I'm talking about, that don't just weaken the relationship, it breaks it.
Right.
It's destroyed. It needs to be radically healed. And those are very serious sins. And there's three categories that have to be taken into consideration if somebody is going to be cognizant of the fact that they have broken their relationship with God. One is that the sin has to be grave matter. You can look at the Ten Commandments. You can look at those big ticket items, if you will. But grave matter. Yes, things like murder are grave matter. Adultery, grave matter. Yes, these things are very, very serious. But you also have to have a full knowledge of what you're doing, and you have to have consent, deliberate consent. In other words, an act of the will. I know what I'm doing. I have full knowledge of what I'm doing, and I know that it's grave, and you do it, it breaks the relationship with God. And so I encourage you today that if your relationship with God has been broken, don't continue to live life this way. It's not worth the risk of spending eternity away from God. I think the sickest feeling in all eternity from now till ever and ever and ever is that first moment after a person dies that they realize, oh, literally, oh my God, I will be like this forever and ever lost. Today's the day of the Lord. Find a church. Go to confession. Strengthen your relationship. Mend that broken relationship. And when you go, and if you have not gone in a while, and you're Catholic and you stop by a church, just tell the priest, I need to go to confession. My case is desperate. I need to go to confession. Every priest that I know of will say, praise God, let's talk. Call up the church and ask when opportunities for confession are going to be available. Well, I wish we had more time, Paul, to talk about this. And
we could go on and on with this because it is a great topic.
We've got so many things to share, but this is a precursor to the big men's conference coming up on March 21st for men. We're going to be talking about sin and how to deal with it with our lives. Ladies, if you're married, get your husband there. It will only improve your relationship and your marriage. And we all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. We all need the sacrament of reconciliation, this sacrament of healing. So go to our website, archspm.org, find out about the men's conference and how to sign up for that. It'll be on March 21st, and we're really, really looking forward to it. You know, one of our guests is Father Rich Simon.
And he'll be a great one.
He's going to be a great one. I'm going to be sharing a little bit. Archbishop Nienstedt will be there, and we have some great music. Father Bill Baer will be there.
Another great.
Also, it's going to be a great day of healing. It's a day of coming out of the condemnation of sin into the light and experiencing the reconciliation with God so we can be strong men and we can lead our families, teach our kids, and go forth and produce a lot of fruit. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We've got lots of great things happening around the Archdiocese. We'll be back with those in just a moment.
The family of Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services has proudly served the Twin Cities area for five generations. No matter which of the 16 locations you choose, you will always find an exceptional level of professionalism and care to a tribute of life. Washburn McCreevy's traditional approach to these tributes will allow survivors to love, laugh, and live well again, even after their loss. Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with the time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. You live your life to the fullest, knowing your wishes will be honored. Washburn McCreevy even has a pre-planning checklist or online form so that you can start the process with the ultimate privacy. Have one sent to you free by calling 612-377-7841. The family of Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels, Cemeteries, and Cremation Services continues to present the Daily Mass evenings on Relevant Radio, 612-377-7841.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. Here's a quick look at some of the things going on around the Twin Cities. Holy Childhood Parish in St. Paul is holding a rummage sale Thursday, March 12th, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Friday, March 13th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, March 14th, 9 to noon. Come find clothing, houseware, linens, books, shoes, many other more treasures to take home. For more information, call Agnes, 651-644-9911.
And all are welcome to come join Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale for St. Pat's Night on the evening of Saturday, March 14th at 6 p.m. Enjoy a delicious catered meal of authentic Irish food and live Irish music and singers. A cash bar will be available with wine, Irish beer, and soda. The cost is just $20 per person. Reservations required. For more information, you can register or visit transfigurationmn.org. Or you can call Martha. Who's Martha? She's the one on the end of the phone. 651-738-2646. That's 651-738-2646.
Alan Ames, you heard him earlier on the show. He'll be giving presentations on healing at three different parishes in Minnesota this weekend. He'll be presenting at St. Augustine Parish in Austin, March 7th, St. Henry's in Monticello, March 8th, and St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on March 9th.
And on Saturday, March 14th, Kelly Wahlquist will be leading the Lenten Women's Retreat at Good Shepherd Church in Golden Valley. You're invited to come and hear Created to Relate, the radical role of women in family, church, and society. Cost is $20. To get tickets, contact Good Shepherd Parish at 763-544-0416.
And come and enjoy a Lenten homemade potato pancake and soup, all-you-can-eat dinner at St. John the Baptist Byzantine Catholic Church, Northeast Minneapolis, Friday, March 20th, 4:30 to 7 p.m. Tours available, cost $9 per person. Call 612-789-6252. And next week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear more about the Big Men's Conference coming up.
That's right. It's going to be exciting. Big Men's Conference. Go to our website. Find out more.
If you feel the heart fallen, brother, can rediscover. Yeah, come on, rediscover.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.